Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Brady under center. Fires down the middle. He throws a long ball right. Throws down the left seam for Gronkowski. Touchdown, 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 Patriots.
Tom Brady plays on one station in Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
What a play.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Tatum will trigger the side out of bounds. Everything on the far side of the floor. Smart flashes, catches. 10 seconds to go. Smart for the cutter. Tatum gets to the rim. Two-hand slam. One-point game. 7.3 to go. In the backcourt. Foul on Harden. It's exactly what happened last year. Harden committed the foul in the backcourt. He knocked over Marcus Smart, and the Celtics will get it.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The first scrimmage of your Boston Celtics was yesterday, and you saw Gordon Hayward with a razzle-dazzle, slam-a-lam-a-ding-dong.
And he landed on his bad ankle and seemed to be fine.
I would imagine that would be the case if he's out there. I would assume that it wouldn't crumple under the pressure.
But, I mean, once again, I was telling Wallach earlier is that it's going to take me about a month to not wince every time I see him go up for a rebound or come down after like a slam dunk or something like that. It's going to take a while for me not to just freak out a little bit every time I see him come down on the ankle. But the good news is that, I mean, it sounds like not only is he getting close to, if not at 100%, as he told us yesterday when we had him on, but also there's other guys on this team. Brad Stevens, when we interviewed him, you remember he was telling us, he goes, you know, defensively, I thought we were pretty good. And he goes, but offensively at the end of the season, there's a lot to be desired. And it was kind of cool hearing Jaylen Brown, because he's one of the main people you can point at the end of the season, not being able to score as much as you wanted a guy in his position to score. I guess that was his major focus over the offseason, was Jaylen Brown said, I know I need to be a guy that can score more. So he worked on his shot. He brought in a couple of guys, some veterans, to help him, you know, with his shot. Hopefully it doesn't mess up his head like Markelle Fultz did, but I don't think he's completely drastically changing his style.
Just in time for him not to get the ball.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he is going to start.
He's going to start. Yes.
There's no question that he's going to start.
But he's the fourth option on the floor.
Without a doubt. Yeah, he's the fourth option on the floor
Tatum
right
would
now.
Be third.
Yeah, Tatum would be third. Yep,
Tatum's third. So you're putting again ahead of Horford?
Yes.
Yeah, Horford's thing isn't scoring. He was forced to do it in the playoffs.
Facilitator.
Last year. Yeah, he's a facilitator.
All right,
but when you're even
he's
when
an
you're
all-star facilitator,
he yep. is that's absolutely. Right. It's the stuff that's not in the stat sheet, Fred, as
that's
we all
right.
know.
It's the things that you can't understand unless you're a brilliant basketball.
On top of that, we noticed, John and I, that everyone had been talking about how Jason Tatum said that he needed to gain some more muscle before he, you know, comes back, and sure enough, he obviously has. I mean, the guy has been working out a lot. I heard somebody say yesterday that he told somebody that he had gained almost 10 pounds of muscle in the offseason, and it's noticeable. And I love how Kyrie Irving just ripped on him for having the two sleeves. I don't think he's going to be able to.
That is kind of weird for a, you know, media availability that you don't put two sleeves on.
Maybe he's covering some other crappy tattoos that he got.
We asked him about his tattoos. We'll play that later. But one guy that we did get to talk to, and we've talked to him several years in a row now, and it's kind of becoming an old hat with Marcus Smart, because he's now, you know, been there. Is he the longest of anyone on this team?
Longest
though?
Tenured. I got to believe that's true, right?
Yeah. So yeah. Marcus Smart has had a really strange and interesting offseason, not only with the death of his mother, but also, as we know, the very public contract battle back and forth. In the end, I think the Celtics got him for a good number. In the end, Marcus Smart was happy. And you have that element, that edgy player that every great team needs, one that's not afraid to go right over the line. And we talked to him yesterday, John Wallach, actually Monday rather, at Media Day. Here's me and John Wallach sitting down with Marcus Smart.
98.5 Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. John Wallach sitting in, and a guy we've interviewed many a time right here at Media Day before. He's becoming one of the elder statesmen of this team, as a matter of fact. Marcus Smart. Marcus, first of all, I love the hair. You got the frosted tips
well,
back.
We got rid of it. Now it's back. What was the decision? What, I mean, you and Sullivan went back and forth on this for a while.
First of all, he said
he did it, and you followed.
Listen, you can ask anybody on the team who started the blonde hair mohawk, little frohawk thing, and they'll tell you it's me. Sully just kind of took it on because he liked it, and I don't know, you know, when you set trends, you always got people that try to follow and copy.
So you're saying Sully's an unoriginal jerk and he's ripping you off.
No. It's okay. It's a good look for both of us, so I can't.
Well, it looks very good. It looks extremely good. Well, first of all, congratulations. We're going to be here for a while. I know a lot of fans were pulling for things to get worked out with you and the Celtics. How does it feel to have all of that done and behind you now?
Feels amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot of pressure off me mentally, just focusing on that and, you know, worried about that. And I love Boston, and Boston loves me. So that's a saying that I've been saying a lot, and I really mean it, and it's true to me. And I'm just ecstatic to be here, man. It's a blessing to be in an organization that cares for you, not just as a basketball player, but just as a person, and I love it.
There's people who will never be in a position like that where, you know, you're – playing on a team that you love, yet at the same time you are trying to get what rightfully you believe you've earned from the organization, and then there's the back and forth. And is that tough at times to have to negotiate with an organization that you truly like and want to be a part of, but at the same time you have to kind of drive your hard bargain?
Oh, definitely. You know, and especially hard because in a business situation, 9 times out of 10 you don't like the guy you're working for or the team you're playing for. They don't like you or necessarily, but in this instance, in this situation, you know, the love for both on both sides was there. You know, I love the Celtics. Celtics love me.
How was Brad during this whole process?
Tremendous, you know.
Because he's come out and said that he wanted you to stay.
Definitely. He's iterated that to me on multiple occasions. And you know, his support that he wants me here, you know, and things like that, and you know, he'd do, you know, everything he could possibly to keep me, you know, and unfortunately we all understand that, you know, in this business the coaches don't get to make that decision. So he understood it, I understood it, and you know, like I said, there's no hard feelings, there's nothing I regret. It's business.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just got to get the business over with.
And you did. And now you can look back and go, thank God that's done. Ain't got to deal with that for a while.
Was there a time, I mean, I understand the love for each other, but as you said before, it's a business. Was there a period of time in there, a week, 2 weeks, a month, where you didn't think you'd be here and negotiations weren't necessarily going as well as you wanted?
There was a time when I thought I probably had played my last game as a Celtic in a Celtics uniform. And I think that's kind of the situation with anybody who goes into the situation I was in a restricted free agent. Just for the simple fact, you know, the team, you know, can match any offer, and everybody else is scared of that. So they're scared to offer anything because they know a team can match, and then they'll lose out on possible picks that they wanted to go after in the free agents and things like that. So it definitely was a time, but like I said, you know, it's business, and there was no hard feelings at all. You know, I respected the business side of it, and I understood what was going on.
This has been such a crazy time for you over the last several months with everything that's happened in your life. When you have fans and people who now on social media can just reach right out to you and say things, did you get any comfort in your tough times over the last few months just from having the fans being able to reach you one-on-one and tell you what they thought?
I definitely did.
Yeah.
You know, with everything that's been going on in my life over the last couple months, you know, I've seen numerous fans and people that I don't even know just, you know, just praying for me and, you know, having my back in my corner and support, and, you know, that means a lot, and especially to this Boston community. You know, everybody that truly understands and really knows Boston, that, you know, they're going to ride with you.
Yeah.
They're going to ride with you to the end. And as long as you go out there and give everything you have, they're behind you 100%.
I think that's the misinterpretation, or whatever the word was. What's the word?
I'm not sure where you're headed.
There's a reputation that people in Boston have. Yes. That's the word.
Yes. There we go.
I speak English for a living, by the way. That you know, Bostonians are a bunch of a-holes, but we're also, when we're on your side, we're your a-holes. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
there you go.
You know, it's like you had an army behind you.
That's exactly it.
That's exactly
what you're talking about.
That is exactly it. And I think everyone who comes to play here, from what I hear, that knows that and they understand and they love it. They love the way Boston represents Boston, and they also love the way how they dislike other teams when they come into this house. So yeah, right. They love it, and you know, and I've heard people say that the Garden is one of the most probably best experiences to play in for them that they've ever had.
Are you going to continue to be that pest, that a-hole, that guy that's going to, you know, gets under the skin of the other players? We still expect that?
That's the plan. Nothing's changed but the year and day for me.
Okay, have you seen James Harden in the offseason, or does he still run the other way?
No, I mean, you know, I've seen him here and there. He's, you know, he congratulated me on my deal and everything, you know, and he's a great player, you know, and anytime you can go up against a great player, you know, that's an honor, and it makes you feel good, especially when you can go out there and hold your own and at least have a chance to.
All right. Well, we're damn glad you're going to be here for the long run.
So am I. Yes.
I bet you are. All right, Marcus, appreciate it. Good seeing you once again.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, that was quite there.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Listen to replays of our shows.
Well, what was that?
And original podcasts.
Yeah, there we go.
Click on podcasts on our site at 98.5thesportshub.com. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. We were talking about planes, trains, and automobiles, how it was not... you guys think it's good. It was not good, in my opinion.
I love Planes. I don't just think it's good. It's like it's one of my favorite comedies of that decade.
I love that movie. I will say that I will go so far as to say that the only good role he had was in Splash.
Splash was a good role. Wasn't
a good role for him?
No.
No, no. Uncle Buck was a great role.
Uncle Buck was a great role.
Uncle Buck is a terrible movie.
Uncle Buck's a good movie.
No.
It's not as good as Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but it's a very good movie.
And except for Joe Flattery, if you take anyone out of that SCTV cast, he is the worst. Next to Joe Flattery.
Stuart Penkin?
Stuart Penkin was on SCTV.
Yeah. No, he was on Not Necessarily the News, I always get those two mixed up.
What?
Yeah, I do.
One is filled with comedy... Hall of Famers, and the other one is terrible.
Which one had Eugene Levy?
SCTV.
Okay, I always get those two
mixed up.
Martin
Short, yeah. Eugene Levy, the Andrea Martin, the chick from...
Sniglets was Not Necessarily the News, right? That was Rich Hall.
Yes, that
and
was
then
Rich Hall.
Took Sniglets and moved it to Saturday Night Live, where he was on for a year.
That's right, he was, yes.
And he only did one funny thing where he was this guy that was just in the back of pictures.
He was the dude from the Talking Heads in that one skit, which was kind of funny.
Just because he had, look, I have a big suit on.
Right, it wasn't really him that was funny, it was
so
the concept.
I will go through John Candy's IMDb, and I will prove to you that I am correct.
Now, what you're saying may be true, the other stuff he's done, but that doesn't take away from the fact that those two movies were really good.
I will say that he is not funny, and I will tell you that I don't remember him in Brewster's Millions, but apparently he was in it. He was in a movie called Follow That Bird.
Oh, yeah, that's the Big Bird movie. Yeah.
All right, whatever.
So was Waylon Jennings, so I'm not going to knock that movie.
Waylon, are you down with the Shooter
ain't
Jennings?
No road to down with him. He created him.
I know, but Shooter Jennings was like super into hair metal for a while. Summer Rental
was
the most
like,
depressing movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those like, what's the Cusack movie where they're at
Better
the
Off Dead?
Like Better Off Dead and Summer Rental were these weird 80s movies that were just sad. Like they were supposed to be comedies, but they were just sad.
Better Off Dead.
Better Off Dead had Jeremy Piven like picking on people.
Yeah,
where you're just like, there's nobody on the planet that can't beat up Jeremy Piven. You know, Jeremy Piven at one point in an episode of Seinfeld was being cast as George.
No, I did not know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's an episode of Seinfeld where they're casting for Jerry's show.
And so
he auditioned for the part of George.
Okay.
And then he became a total stud.
Oh, yeah. Hug it out.
That's right. Volunteers.
No.
That's the one with Tom Hanks, right?
Yes. Yes. And Elizabeth Perkins and Candy's the guy who gets brainwashed.
You know this one, Armed and Dangerous.
Oh, I remember that. That one
Eugene
had Eugene Levy.
Yep. That was bad.
That was terrible. Little Shop of Horrors, which
That was not good. And I wanted to like that movie so bad. I didn't realize it was based on a musical.
Yeah, it's a musical, which automatically makes it suck. Every musical, you go, look at what an effort this took to make me hate you.
South Park, the movie, was essentially a musical.
Yeah, well, that's different. It was also a Dirty Puppet Show. But musicals always, to me, as I always say, like look at all that you're trying so hard for me to hate you.
As I said, the hardest I've ever laughed at anything was the Book of Mormon. Back to the South Park guys.
I gotta use flashy hands. I gotta talk like this to the back of the room. In fact, I always think that people have been lobotomized as they walk into musicals. Like people that are like dudes that are into musicals that like they go to New York and they're like, bro, what do you want to do? I don't know. Let's just catch a Annie.
I could sing every word to Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera. I just grew up and my mother would crank that stuff in the morning to wake us up. So I know every word to the both of those musicals.
They're both that one guy did them, right?
Andrew Lloyd Webber. No. One's Andrew Lloyd Webber, Phantom of the Opera is, and the other one is, I forget the guy's name, but it's not Andrew Lloyd Webber.
All right.
That was Jesus Christ Superstar. That was him. That was that guy.
Jesus Christ Superstar? That's supposed to be like a rock and roll one.
No, that's what it was like. We're not your dad's opera.
That's right.
It's Jesus and roller skates.
There was a big roller skate movement when it came to the theater.
Yeah, it was like, was it Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat where they had roller skates?
No.
One of those had roller skates.
Oh, what was the one with... Oh God!
Xanadu is the movie. There was a roller skating movie.
Xanadu has the best opening of... Or no, the Can't Stop the...
The music with Steve Guttenberg? Yeah, that was the Village People movie.
Yeah, if you're going to want to waste some time, go to YouTube and Google, go into it and go, Can't Stop the Music opening. It's Steve Guttenberg for a solid 5 minutes, just roller skating. Starlight Express is the other one with the roller skating.
Oh, that's it. Jerry Thornton chimes in. He goes, Fred Tutcher doing a rant about how John Candy was not funny. I've never been so triggered. I'm with you, Jerry. I don't know where you get... How did you not...
He's not funny.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles was amazing.
No, it's sad and...
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles isn't sad.
Yes, it is.
It was a feel-good ending. He finally has a family for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, he's a loser. He should be alone.
Oh, God.
It should have ended with him walking down the street in the rain crying.
And Steve Martin walks in his house.
Or it should have been him, like, looking over the ledge of a building.
Then it would have just been another Benny Off Dead type movie. Then it would have just been really depressing.
Yeah, he gets to come in. Like, the big smelly fat guy all of a sudden gets to stay with the good
people.
But
anyway, you won him over. You had a great heart, you know?
Yeah, but I don't like characters like that.
No. That's your problem. That's your problem as a human being, Fred.
I didn't say that I'm not insulting you for liking the work of John Candy. I'm expressing my argument that he's not funny. And I've given you several films. I could give you all of them.
But those movies are funny that I named. Now, several of those I agree with.
All right, Bobby, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing today, guys?
Hey.
Great. So I got to say, a great John Candy movie you didn't mention is The Great Outdoors. That is such a good movie.
No, The Great Outdoors sucks in it because
I
got to
kind of disagree with that.
Dan Aykroyd in it.
Yeah, you're right.
Post-1981.
Now, Dan Aykroyd, that's a guy we can have an argument over because
he wrote great movies and he was in some great movies.
Of course he was in great movies, but Dan Aykroyd, like, what's his funniest role? Like, I'm talking in a movie because I've never really found him that funny.
Well, he was willing to play the straight man. Like, so, like, in the Blues Brothers, he was willing to be, like, the silent one.
And maybe Aykroyd was funny in Ghostbusters, but he was just being completely blown away by Harold Ramis and Bill Murray.
But he wrote it, so he was, again, was willing to, he was, like they say about Phil Hartman, he was able to, you know, take one for the team.
Think about it, Dragnet, Spies Like Us, these are Aykroyd movies.
Yes.
You know, and just, okay.
Yeah, like, you be funny, and I'll sit back.
But Cool Runnings was good. I thought Cool Runnings was good.
Oh, that's a John Candy. Right. Back to John Candy. Yeah,
Cool Runnings was good.
Is fine.
It didn't have to have John Candy.
And it wasn't funny.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He was not there to be funny.
As a matter of fact, he was specifically cast to shake that off of him. I remember reading that he took that role because he wanted to. It was like Bill Murray. What movie did he do?
The Razor's Edge.
Remember how bad that was?
Yeah.
Candy took this role because specifically he wasn't funny and he wanted to show people he had that kind of range.
And then he died.
Yes, that's right.
A little too late, Johnny Boy.
Sure. Oh, you know what? Aykroyd was kind of funny at Tommy Boy when he was Ray Zelinsky. He was pretty funny at Tommy Boy. I'll give him that.
Yeah. John, go ahead.
Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places, Lionel Joseph, come on.
Yeah, and again, that's an example of a movie that he wrote
where he said Eddie Murphy's a star. And
yeah,
I'm going to let him go.
Setup. I'll set up and you finish.
And
absolutely.
Except for when he puts the fish down his pants at the Christmas party.
I'll stand by Spaceballs. Spaceballs is
terrible.
I will stand by Spaceballs.
It is Mel now.
It's terrible.
No,
now.
You know what?
It's a bunch of Yiddish humor.
Because it went from being exactly my age's sense of humor when it came out, I was like 10, to being like it's so corny that it makes me laugh.
No.
Like
it's
the jokes
not even
are
that.
Like,
oh, it's just
Yogurt the Wonderful, Yogurt the Mystical. Please, I'm just plain yogurt.
By the way, John Candy played a guy.
It's like so.
No.
John Candy played a guy named Barf.
Yeah, it was Barf.
Yeah.
I'm a half man, half dog.
And
I'm
you
my
have
best
combing the desert, and you have an actual space ball combing the desert. I mean, it's not.
He was a character named not. Barf.
Yes, he was.
But it was short for Bartholomew.
Stupid.
Right. Barf.
Yes, Barf.
What's wrong with you?
Like, that was supposed to get a joke. That was like a laugh.
Because when you're 10, that's great.
I didn't say it wasn't good when you were 10. I'm saying that I have watched it relatively recently.
What's your name? Barf. Your full name?
Bartholomew.
Uh-huh.
That's about as good as when Sarge said, it's cribs, and he said, well, I sleep in a bed.
I thought it was a pretty good line.
Not a crib. All right. Derek, go ahead.
What's up, guys? I just wanted to mention John Candy's role in Home Alone.
Oh, he was great.
Polka King of the Midwest.
Yep, that's right. Gus Polinski. The Polka King of the Midwest. That was a great scene.
He didn't do anything.
No, that scene was funny when he was like he was playing the thing and he tried to get her to blow in his like clarinet or whatever he was playing.
Well, I don't know who else could have pulled that bad boy off.
But he was funny in that. A lot of people could have, but he was good.
I could have done that.
But Planes, Trains, and Automobiles he owned. Like him and matter of fact, that's the funniest Steve Martin's been. That's the funniest John Candy's been.
Then the Jerk?
The Jerk was very funny, but
no,
I'm telling you.
Blows that out of the water. Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on.
Are you going to make that comparison?
I am
100% Fred on this.
When
you have no idea what you're talking about.
The airport is one of the all-time classic scenes.
No.
All-time.
Nope.
And by the way, a movie that's not that great, but Steve Martin was awesome in, was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Now, that's depressing.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We agree on that one, but the previous thing.
We can't
call the hot take police.
I don't know why all these people, all these movies depress me. Mike, go ahead.
I mean, Summer Rental, what are we talking about, guys? We forgot the scene where he leaves the house and there's a guy flipping omelets in his house and he comes and he takes his crutch and he tears the place apart.
I don't know, man. Summer Rental was...
No.
He just gets, like, sunburned.
And then there's the fat joke where the bear, like, you know, knocks down the front door. And, of course, you know, Candy's got to be underneath making sounds as the bear jumps up and down on him. I mean, it's expected. It's expected humor for a fat guy.
I thought he was likable in Vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy they kidnapped. I thought he was likable.
It's fine. Good movie, but, yeah.
He's fine.
There for 5 minutes at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he showed up. He didn't ruin it. He showed up. He got his paycheck.
Uncle Buck, when he's sitting there across from the teacher who has the huge war on her
face. Buck is great. Uncle
Why
Buck
don't you
is great.
Go down
he
to the sewer.
Great in
Here's
that
$20.
Movie.
Go down to the sewer and have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
Yeah. He's great in that
Dude,
movie.
He's great.
I agree.
But it's not Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. That is that.
See, I got to be honest. I don't recall Uncle Buck. I don't even know if I've seen the whole thing.
Okay. You know what? Someone just reminded me. He was great in the Blues Brothers. Orange Whip.
No, I've seen the Blues Brothers more than any movie. Okay, now I'm an expert on this. Now, everyone out of the way. I've seen the Blues Brothers. I, like an idiot, dressed like the stupid Blues Brothers with a friend of mine every Friday in fifth grade.
Yes, sure. Dispatch, this is a, what car are we?
28.
Car 28, we're in a truck.
Yeah, not, he is invisible in that movie. He is invisible.
Mm.
He's behind Donald Duck Dunn in that movie.
Oh, come on. Dude, he had like two great lines, like two of the best lines of the movie.
Yeah, that were written by someone else.
Okay, but he was great. He delivered them well.
Oh, give me a
he
break.
He did write Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Huh?
And he was great in that.
Yeah, but he was a star of that.
Okay.
In Blues Brothers, he's in it for like 5 seconds.
But I said he was funny when he was in it.
Give me a break.
He was funny when he was in it.
Oh, please. It's a 2-hour movie that cost $40 billion.
He's not the first person. I think of
his role. He's not the first person.
The question is, was he funny in that movie? And the answer is yes.
Did he make an impact? I think of more of his role in Stripes than I do in the Blues
Brothers. Top 10 scenes in the Blues Brothers, you don't even think of him.
No, you don't. No, Stripes you think of.
I don't know. The Orange Whip scene I always think of. That's one of my favorite scenes.
The Orange Whip thing.
Obviously.
Yeah, he says Orange Whip.
More of an impact. Stripes or Blues Brothers?
He's in Blues Brothers for 2 seconds. Yeah. I've seen that movie a billion times. My son's seen the Blues Brothers.
Yes, and he was funny in it.
Yeah, he was a real rock star. He was the best. It's not even the Illinois Nazi scene.
That scene's great.
That's a great scene.
That's the best scene.
Could be.
That's the best scene in the movie.
There's also when Carrie Fisher blows up the building. And then
or they just put the glasses on and just walk away like nothing happened. That's great. Yeah. That's great, too. Yeah.
The scene with the nun, I could give you a million scenes. That was when I realized I made a mistake playing it for my son.
It's a really big mall. Yeah.
We have not gotten down that road yet.
When she started hitting, I'm like, oh, there's a good deal of profanity.
Yes.
But that ship has sailed long ago. All right. Tomorrow we got tickets at 7:30 and 9:30 to the Patriots game against the Dolphins on Sunday. Rich, we have the stat coming up on what we discussed.
Oh, there's so much stuff. The NFL, once again, just completely botches any kind of rule changes.
All right, hang on. I got an emergency phone call. Breanne, go ahead.
Hey, this is Pete and Westminster's wife. What's up?
Hey.
Hey, you guys didn't even mention Coneheads for Dan Aykroyd. Give him some credit.
Because it's not funny. Coneheads is not funny at all.
It was not funny on Saturday Night Live.
Right?
Coneheads was not, that movie, first of all, came out 20 years too late.
The movie and was horrible.
And by the way, on Hulu, they have the first 5 seasons of Saturday Night Live. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah, Aykroyd's best role on Saturday Night Live was Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
Agreed. Yeah, agreed.
It was great.
But and then when he did the guy who owned the toy company.
With all the sharp edges and why toys were dangerous.
And you know what? He was actually okay when he was the sleazy art collector.
Oh, yeah.
Ned Garvin wins, though.
Yeah, Fred Garvin.
Fred Garvin. You know what I mean.
Male prostitute.
Yep. But you know that in the first season, they had the Muppets, but not like Kermit the Frog, but Jim Henson's Muppets. B, they wore bee costumes.
Killer bees.
Yeah. But just in it was funny. Like they just wore bee costumes in a bunch of scenes.
It's hilarious.
No. It wasn't.
I haven't seen it in a while. You obviously have.
Only had Bill Murray and he was running around doing movies all the time. So it's like Garrett Morris, Lorraine Newman, Gilda Radner,
Chevy Chase showed up and started falling down.
No, Chevy Chase only on the first season and a half. And then he was a breakout star.
Huh.
John Belushi, not funny on Saturday Night Live. That show.
Yeah, and the scene with Buck Henry where he's a samurai deli guy. Fantastic.
You know, he cut Buck Henry in one of those.
Oh, I did not know that.
He cut him on the face.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to say that because you immediately think John Belushi and you think funny. But you're right. On SNL, I can't think of anything that really stood out.
Little Chocolate Donuts?
I've read
that. That was great. That's great.
Little Chocolate Donuts is great.
It was fun. I'll tell you this. As a scholar of John Belushi's career, I've read Wired. I've read his wife's book. If you look at it, he made 2 good movies.
Animal House and Blues Brothers?
Yes. And then he was in 1941, which was a bomb.
What's the one where he's a writer and goes to Colorado?
The Continental Divide.
Okay.
He was in Neighbors.
Neighbors is an all-time disaster.
Yeah, Neighbors wasn't good. He didn't really make a ton of movies.
If you look at what an icon he was, and then you look at
his work. 2 all-timers, I guess you become an icon. You're the star of 2 all-timers. Yeah. You become an icon.
Yeah, Animal House stands up today. Animal House, one of the great Animal House, a top 3 comedy of all time. That and Anchorman. Put that.
Step Brothers is number 1.
I've seen Step Brothers now 1,000 times.
It's always on TV.
It's always on TV.
And I can't turn it.
I know. And then it's the clean version, so I can show that one to my kids. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
The Sports Hub with Toucher and Rich. The Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
I don't mean to gross you out for a moment, but there was a video that went viral the day before yesterday that showed a Comerica Park employee in Detroit spitting on a pizza that was intended for customers, and now officials say that the employee is in police custody and could face charges.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a big deal. So the video was posted to Instagram. It was on
Saturday. Hepatitis that way.
Oh, sure. And it shows this guy spitting on a pizza and then rubbing the sauce in it. And the police said as soon as we became aware through social media of the potential food tampering on Friday night, we immediately closed that food stand and disposed of all the product Food safety is our top priority. Oh, this is from the Detroit Comerica Park. And we take appropriate action necessary to protect our guests. So this woman, Quinnell May, who posted the video, said that the worker was mad and having a bad day and also claims to have done it in the past. May said after he recorded the video, he went to the bathroom looking around to tell people about the video but couldn't find anybody. His managers got mad at him and shut him down when they tried to tell him. Every time I tried to talk, they told me to shut up. He said he was told to leave and threatened with prosecution if they didn't take the post down. So apparently he is going to be in big trouble. You know, you hear about this stuff happening all the time. It's one of those things that I don't think ever happens. It's just like in movies and in folklore, people say, oh, I was so mad at this guy that I actually spit in their food. But then you see this and you're like, all right, well, how often does this happen to,
well,
to me?
I worked in the food service industry for a very, very long time. Like 8 years, and I can tell you that I never saw anything like that. Did I say this steak
yes,
is brought to you by Harvard?
Yeah, yeah. And there's been situations where people are very angry at the, you know, I mean, you get food sent back several times or someone's completely rude.
Oh, I've yelled at people and told them to get out.
Oh, the food.
But I never did anything to their food.
Isn't it amazing? Because, you know, I've got some family that works in the food service industry, and it's just when you hear about the percentage of people who are a-holes to servers and the like, as opposed to the people who are just like, not even kind, but just normal and courteous, it's probably 70-30.
I'm not being sarcastic and I'm not trying to be, Mr. Old Cantankerous Guy, but my children will wait tables at some point in their life because you will see.
Without a doubt, you will work some sort of like food industry, food service. You have to work at a fast food restaurant because when I worked at Subway, I saw people lose their mind over the smallest things. And I'm like, how does this person function in normal life and not just completely ram their car into something?
Because it's one place where they feel that they're superior, that you're waiting on them. And they're pieces of garbage in their real life. And then so this is one opportunity for them to feel like big shot. It's funny you say Subway because when I worked at Blimpie's, we thought it was hysterical when someone got mad. And we just try to encourage him to get even more mad.
Well, I would always go in and just be like over the top nice to the person.
Yeah.
And then you can't do anything. You can't do anything when
We thought the more it escalated, the better it was.
Because it's the best way always to combat somebody who's being like a complete a-hole is if you're over the top nice to them. A, it takes away any kind of complaint that they could have. Their armor, the one thing that makes them feel powerful.
What are they going to do? Get you fired?
No, it's just they would make my life more miserable. Like, you know, that's
no,
the thing.
No, it's
you just,
fun.
You want to get them out of there. And
no,
just like,
no, 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 no. You want them yelling and screaming.
See, I just wanted to be over.
Waiting tables is different because that's real money. But I get paid at Blimpie's no matter what happens. So what do I care? You got a complaint? Screw you. I used to pick, you heard Migdal when he called in the show.
Yeah.
I used to pick up I'd slice the meat and then I'd take a piece of meat and eat it and then put it on. And I didn't even realize I was doing anything wrong.
And put it on their sandwich?
No. I'd eat it and then put the rest on their sandwich. I'd eat in front of them. Mm. And then people would try to put a bunch of vegetables on the sandwich, like just more and more and more and more and more. So like it would make like a salad. And we would make fun of them, like, what, you can't, like, what are you doing? You're making a salad right here? Like, ooh, no, don't take all our shredded lettuce.
Our store would freak out if there was anything close to there being some sort of contamination. Like, I remember there was one guy who was carrying out a plate of bread, and he turned his head to the side and sneezed, and we threw out the whole plate of bread.
No, we didn't do anything gross.
It wasn't even on the on the tray. It was out of the direction of it, but they're like, I'm sorry that you just, we got to toss it.
Our Blimpie's was owned by these two guys that were just out of college, and they had no idea what they were doing, and it was, and my friends would come in. I gave everyone free sandwiches. Mm-hmm. I would challenge them to see how much they could eat, so I'd put like four times the meat on a sandwich. One time my friend, Migdal threw up on the floor.
Jeez.
He tried to eat all of it. And then I gave him a mop and made him clean it up.
Oh, man.
There's people in there.
Well, you know who loved you know who loved Subway and their meatballs? It would be...
I love meatballs.
That would be Mr. Mark Gemelli.
Sure.
He was a big fan.
Mark Gemelli is always a gentleman.
He loved...
You got to put a lot of love in it when you make the meatballs.
Yes, you do, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Someone said, when are we doing a Mark Gemelli 98.5 of Sports Hub Cribs? When are we going to check out the recliner? You got to save that for the end. That's the season finale.
Yeah.
You don't just let people see the recliner. You got to ease yourself into that. Prepare yourself mentally.
I don't ever want to see the recliner. It's one of those things that we've experienced before. You just got to let it be.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't want to see the recliner.
I'm cool with that.
I don't even want to see what he looks like.
I want to see Bird's apartment, though. Or his room.
His apartment?
His room above his parents. He has his bedroom over his parents' house, yes.
Yeah, his bedroom.
Yes.
He has a bedroom.
I would like to see that. That I would like to see.
Jamal!
Yeah, Mr. Jamali. Tom Brady's statistics, when you look at it, are really bad.
Yeah.
Through the first three games. Matter of fact, Michael Hurley took a look and tried to figure out where he ranked in all of those things that he's going to get a bonus for or not at the end of the year. It was like, what was it, passing yards and
touchdowns?
You've got to
be top five in all these categories.
All right, well, he's way far off.
And there was tears over everything.
Yep. Passing yards, guess where he's ranked in the NFL?
28th.
25th. He's ranked 25th with 644 yards. Pass yards per attempt, 24th. Completion percentage, he's 19th in the league. Completions, he's tied for 19th. Passing touchdowns is his best yet, and he's tied for 11th with 6th. And a passer rating, he's tied for 15th with 93.9. 20-plus yard passes, that would be tied for 20th. And where do you think he's ranked at 40-plus yard passes?
Zero. He is zero. Yeah. He is last.
He is in last place, tied for last at 28th. With zero, because he has not been able. Now, how many he's chucked up has been plenty. He's thrown quite a few down there.
He's thrown them just
to
the field.
None to Cordarrelle Patterson, though. We're going to leave that gun in the holster.
So, unfortunately, those bonuses seem kind of far off in the distance.
Yes, indeed. All right, so we will leave you for a moment, and when we come back, we will tell you all about what is happening on the Zolak and Bertrand Show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right.
Toucher.
No police were called.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They don't know how to comp here, you know?
No. I get comped a lot.
Yeah,
I mean,
because you played professional football.
I don't anymore.
No, I know, but people recognize you.
Yeah.
So, the art of the comp in Boston has not reached the point where it was in Atlanta.
It's interesting. It's interesting that Atlanta has that awareness more than this type of city here.
In fairness, I don't go... there are places that comp me a lot. You know, I still... pay and then you make it up with the tip, whatever. But there are places that I get comped, but that's just because I'm a regular. Mm. It's not because of
if you go to a place enough, I think, and if you you've spent quite, you know, the hefty bill once in a while, I think people like, hey, here's some apps, hey, here's a dessert, you know, they send stuff over.
Well, absolutely. And if you've gone to a bar enough and you have a relationship with the staff, I mean, that's when. I mean, at least at the worst, you get a nice solid drink if you ask for one.
I go to Davio's Patriots place. I walk in. It's like you're a made man.
Oh, man, sit over here.
Yeah, Capitol Grill in Chestnut
they put
Hill.
They already put the glass out. I didn't even order it yet.
Would you like a normal appetizer?
Yeah, Terry O'Reilly's, they pretty much just have it out for me. I've lied to people about not going out. And then going, like friends who said, do you want to go out tonight? And then said no, and then gone out so I could be by myself.
Of course.
Did you drink alone?
Dude. Like
George Thorogood?
I prefer it.
We got to talk to Nick real quick. How weird is the inside of his place?
Pretty weird.
Like how weird? Like a 12-year-old weird?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's got wrestling crap all over the place.
Okay, like when I was little, I had like posters from Sports Illustrated, Joe Montana, you know, John Elway, Marino. What else? Like, you know, the Goodfellas poster from the movie, Scarface, all that cool stuff, and video games.
The amount of wrestling stuff he owns is...
So it's like 40-year-old virgin. Weird.
Startling.
You can't see me.
Yeah. Is that a game you two play?
Oh, boy.
Do you guys play a little hide-and-seek?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, sure.
Let's find the dolphin. You guys played that? Play a little tag team? Back was, again? Check this record. Let's begin.
He was walking around nude with a melon, and he was like, you can't see
me.
Where was he hiding where you couldn't see him?
He was talking about John Cena.
Yeah,
he was
what do you mean?
About John Cena.
Yeah.
John Cena does a thing with his hands.
His hands. It's his phrase. Oh, you can't see me.
You can't see me.
Yeah, but it didn't feel weird like when you're in a house and he's going, you can't see me.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
The whole experience.
You can't see me. Yeah. Did he lock the door when you went in? Now you can't leave?
Okay.
Sarge's hood.
That's right, Fred.
Sarge is in charge.
That's right. That's where you live. Sarge's hood.
I do.
I'm a nice man. Oh.
Did he not get the understanding of what cribs is? Like,
he's like, you live in a bed. I don't have a crib.
Yeah.
He didn't get it.
He didn't know that.
No, yeah. No, he was being funny.
No, he wasn't. He never saw MTV Cribs.
I might lean in Zoe's direction on this one.
He had no clue. What do you mean crib? What am I, baby?
So this is the area where all the magic happens, right?
It's been a while.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Listen. All right, you guys going to talk?
How long?
What do you get? Well, I'm guessing it's...
Yeah, Bert Brewer's in for 2 hours today. We got Bert.
Oh,
so,
good.
We do a lot of football. Right. I think we're starting baseball, though.
Oh, yeah!
Local 9.
All right, everyone, it's have a great double day. We have tickets tomorrow for the Patriots at 7:30, 9:30. Bye.